As we continue our studies looking at the life of Elijah, we saw last time that he was a man of prayer, that he was humble in his prayer, that he bowed himself before the presence of the Lord, that he was specific in his prayer. He did not waste time on mere generalities. He was earnest in his prayer. He was an earnest man in his prayer. We looked at James 5, verses 17 through 18, and it says of Elijah, James 5, verses verses 16 through 18. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. He was a man that was humble in his prayer, specific in his prayer, and he was earnest in his prayer. He did not take a spiritless attitude towards his prayer life, but he prayed with fervency, with heat. His soul was moved with the need of the people. See, a key to prayer, earnest prayer, is you have a need. You see the need of the people. Elijah had felt the pressure of the thing that he prayed for. He was burdened for the people. May the Lord deliver us from flippant prayer that avails nothing, almost a prayer by rote. May the church regain the desire for availing fervent prayer, prayer that moves the soul and lines up our will with that of the Heavenly Father. After all, that is the purpose of prayer, to bring us to the same place God is at already in regard to our prayer. We see in verse 43 of 1 Kings 18, verse 43, and said, and Elijah said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went and looked and said, there's nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. So he was persistent. 8 times the servant is told to go and look towards the sea. 7 times there's nothing there. Yet Elijah kept praying, kept believing. Brother, sister, don't give up praying. Don't give up believing. He did not allow the outward circumstances affect his inward assurance that the answer was on the way. Even as Daniel had prayed, the angel had been sent, but it took weeks for the angel to come and answer his prayer. He was persistent. Sometimes, like Elijah, we will experience delays in answers to our prayer. And why is that? One writer has said it this way. It's not that God is hard to persuade, it is that he would have us mean what we say. Do you really mean what you're praying about? There are times when God will answer prayer immediately. However, there's times when he answers delay. When those times come, God would have us continue to be faithful in prayer, waiting on his answer. We have to learn to be patient. It is in perseverance in prayer that the flesh is brought low and faith allowed to soar to the highest heights. It believes the impossible. Faith believes the impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. God would have us never to give up. We're to be persistent in prayer. If he has put something in your heart, you pray until it becomes a reality. Elijah was a man that was expectant in his prayer. Look at verses 41 and 43. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. There is the sound of abundance of rain. Elijah kept praying and kept sending his servant to look to the sea. Why? Because he was operating in faith in the promise of God. He knew that the rains were going to come. He was expecting big things from God. Note, the word for rain in verse 41 refers to a heavy downpour. Elijah was expecting big things from a big God. Our God is sovereign over all things. And there's no lesser or greater things with God. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too hard for God. If we're ever going to see real success in our prayer lives, we must learn to pray with expectancy. We must pray and believe that God will do what he has promised to do. In Mark 11:24, it says, "Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Nothing cripples faith nearly so often as the sin of unbelief. In James 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven, tossed, and fro. Yes, he will. No, he won't. Yes, he will. No, he won't. Yes, he will. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." We have to be expectant, brother. We have to be expectant, sister. Look at verse 44 of 1 Kings 18. "Then," notice, "then it came to pass." Oh, hallelujah. "Then it came to pass the seventh time." Not the first, the second, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, but the seventh time. "There's a cloud. There is as a cloud, as small as a man's hand." Notice that verse is small. "Rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you." He was answered. On the eighth trip, the servant sees a little cloud rising out of the sea. When this news is brought to Elijah, the prophet knew that God's answer had come. His prayers had prevailed, and God was sending the rains. We serve a God who still answers the prayer of his children. He would have us to know that real faith praying is not a waste of time. God honors the prayers of his people. Why? Because the prayers of his people honor him. Next, we will see in verse 46 of 1 Kings 18. "Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. We're told that when the rains came, Ahab left in his chariot. After 3.5 years of drought, a torrential rain would turn the ground to mud in no time. Therefore, Ahab wanted to beat the rain back to Jezreel. His iron chariot wheels would bog down in the mud and cause him problems traveling. As he went, suddenly, he heard the pounding of sandals against the muddy ground. Oh, here comes Elijah. Ahab looks over just in time to see Elijah pass him and run in front of him, the 18 miles to the gate of Jezreel. I'm reminded of those old Roadrunner cartoons. I find this to be very humorous. Here comes Elijah the Roadrunner, running right past Ahab. You have to notice the source of his power. After the strenuous activity of the day, how did Elijah possess the ability to run that far, that fast? The Bible says that the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. When a person is enabled by God, he can do things that are beyond the scope of ordinary men. He gives strength, stamina, and ability to those who will walk in his power. God will give the strength. He will give the ability. As Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." While Ahab was bogged down in the mud of his sameness and his mediocrity, Elijah ran with the hand of God upon his life, and he excelled. What a difference. I don't know about you, but I want the power of God on me. You see, the secret of Elijah's preparation. We're told that Elijah girded up his loins, so he was prepared. He was prepared. That is how he wrapped his mantle about him and tucked the end of his robe into his belt, and he ran. Why the preparations? If he had tried to run without girding his loins, he would have been tangled up in his garments and he would have fallen. He cleared every possible obstacle so that he could run better. He was prepared. He knew the source of his power, God. He knew the secret of preparation. What a lesson for those who want to run with God. Let us heed the words of Paul in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we will run well, we must rid our lives of those things that would hinder our progress. All of the weights, all the sins, all must fall by the wayside. If we will run with patience and power the race that we have been given, what needs to be removed from your life? The secret of preparation. What was the strategy of Elijah's purpose? What is the significance of this event? Ancient kings were always preceded by a runner. This runner would announce the approach of the king and clear any obstacles that might hinder the king's chariot from traveling the road. When Elijah ran ahead of Ahab, he was making a statement. Elijah was in effect saying, "Ahab, I am a man of God, and I hate sin and idolatry. However, I respect your office, and I'm willing to submit to you as my king, as you submit to God as yours." Elijah wanted Ahab to know that his stand against Baal was nothing personal. It was just his zeal for the Lord. For Elijah, this was a statement of humility. He simply assumed the role of a servant. He ran ahead of his king and made way for the king. He respected the authorities that had been put in place by God over him. Let us learn a serious lesson today, especially in this country, where we bash our presidents, bash our senators, bash our congressmen, bash our mayors. We must remember, if we agree with them or not, that God has put those in authority over us. And we must give them their due respect and honor, even as Elijah did to this wicked king Ahab. He respected the office that God had given him. He respected the office that God had given to Ahab. He didn't say, "Well, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican, so therefore let me bash and ridicule and mock my president." There is just this thought for us this morning. God's work in our lives should not make us cocky or mean or prideful. There are those who have been used of the Lord after one fashion, who became lifted up in pride and feel that they're better than others because God has used them mightily. But a true servant, never forget this, a true servant is always humbled by God's activity in his life. This humility is always revealed in a desire to serve others first. If you would be great, you would have to be a servant. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's work in your life will not lift you up, but it will cause you to see your own unworthiness before God. Your own unworthiness before God. You must remember, at best, we're just servants of the Lord, brothers and sisters. Why are you being puffed up and prideful? Service. Understanding your God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? It should humble you, God's work in your life. It should produce within you a desire to serve in His name. Notice, in His name, not in your name. We live in an age of celebrities, where all the celebrities are lifted up in Christianity. And somehow we feel that that is what we need to be. No, we need to be humbled, as Elijah was. It is to be noted that Ahab did not offer Elijah a ride in his chariot. Remember, Ahab and those that are unbelievers that are in authority, remember this. The sinful can only think of themselves. The saved servants are forced to think of others first. We're called to be servants. The battle had been won, but the work was not finished. Elijah still needed to claim some promises. Prayer. He had prayed. He had run for the glory of God. There's no room for quitting in the family of God. We must persevere until the end. We must press on to the end. If you're tired and weary and contemplating a season of spiritual retirement, may I encourage you to reconsider this morning. There is still work to be done. Promises must be claimed. Prayers must be prayed. And God still wants His people to run with patience the race of life for His glory. There's no quitting. Don't give up, brother. Don't give up, sister. Press on, even as Elijah did. If there is a need in your life today, will you not bring it to the Lord? Even as Elijah did. Whatever that need would be, you're to go into prayer. You're to go into your prayer closet. And you're to be as Elijah was. Humble in prayer. Specific in prayer. Earnest in prayer. Persistent in prayer. Expectant in prayer. And knowing that our good God, in His timing, He will answer your prayers.